This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 26, 2017. The Fourth Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
We must work while it is day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We must work while it is day. Anybody who goes to church, you're going to get no argument for them that our Lord Jesus Christ was a worker. Our Lord, for the first 30 years of his life, worked with his foster father. You hear carpenter, and it gives an artisan's sort of, an artist's sort of a motif to the whole thing with Joseph. But actually, the Greek word is more what we would refer to as a handyman. Joseph worked a lot. It just wasn't a matter of being an artisan in wood. He did all kind of things. And our Lord Jesus Christ, for 30 years of his life, as I said, he worked with him. Our Lord was a worker. And then he went out to his public ministry, and the work became very arduous, extremely arduous. So there's no doubt in our minds, again, even a person who has a nominal faith would say that, yeah, our Lord Jesus was a worker. The question stands as to what we do with that. If our Lord Jesus Christ was a worker, and we are now, as he is in heaven, making intercession for us to be parts of his body, what are we to do? Is he our example? If he is our example, then we must do what he did and work. It is not a theological suggestion. It is a mandate. Our Lord Jesus Christ says we must work while it is day. Now, some of you who read older versions of the Bible will open it up to this passage in John chapter 9, and you will say, oh, it doesn't say we, it says I will work. Well, actually, in the Greek, for you grammarians who like to deal with stuff like this, it's an aorist tense. It doesn't say I or we. It's just an imperative that we work. Work must be done while it is day. Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ was, before Bethlehem, not bound by time. He was the second person of the eternal Trinity. He did not have point A and point B. But after he became incarnate, he bound himself of his own volition to time. Now he is bound to time. And when he was here, he knew it was limited. That's why he says we must work while it is day, while we have time to work. Even I, as God, have a limited amount of time here to work. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, guess what? His time is over. His time is over in this world. And now that's why he established a church. That's why he called you to himself. He wants you to work. And it is not a suggestion. It is something that is imperative. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that he is light of the world. That's what he says in John chapter 9, we hear it at the end of every Mass in the last Gospel, that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ is unarguably the light. But if you read Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. Which one is it? Is it him or is it us? Yes, it's both. It's not an either-or proposition. It is both and. We are to work now because now it is our time and we have a limited amount of it. And again, it's not a suggestion. It is something you must do as a Catholic. We talk about being parts of the body of Christ. What do parts of the body do? They work. They work in conjunction one with another to get things done physically. While you are here, you are, as our Lord Jesus Christ, are to shine light in this world. Our work as Catholics, basically you can categorize it in three ways. Let's go there. You are to work in primarily three areas. One, your faith. One, works of mercy. The other, works of repentance. You must work in all those three categories. If you are malfeasant in working in one of those categories, there is a big question mark for you. Let's break them down. Faith. You must learn your faith. I mean, we love to sit in here. I am the first and foremost to love to do it and wag my head at bad things going on in the church nowadays. The reason that they're going on is because people don't know their faith. You know, they don't know enough about their faith that when something is foisted upon them that is not of the faith, they don't know enough to say that it's wrong. You know, and it doesn't matter if somebody's got a collar on or not, or if they wear a certain color of hat, okay? There are some things that we know from Scripture, some things that we know from the traditions of the church, some things that we know from the consistent magisterial teachings of the church, that when you hear something different, you should know. You should know that it's wrong. And within reason and within parameters, you should call people on it occasionally. We have to know our faith. It is up to us to study our faith. It is up for us to practice our faith. We hear that a whole lot, the practice of faith. Think about those words, practice. Practice makes perfect, all right? Perfection may elude us, but we must work, and we must practice our faith. We need to learn it. You need to learn your catechism. You need to learn what the traditions of your church are. There's probably no place where it is more manifest than in the liturgy. Okay? Let's think about this one. Let's put it in the context of work. When we come into the liturgy is work. It is work at worshiping the living God with all reverence that is his due as God, with all reverence that we are able, given our limited means in this world. But nonetheless, working as hard as we possibly can to make his worship as perfect as it can possibly be, because he deserves it, because of what he has done for us. It's interesting that, you know, again, think of it, keep thinking of it in the context of work. It's interesting how the work has been mitigated. There's actually, I don't do this often, but there's a blog spot called Rerate Caeli. Get with me, I'll spell it for you if you don't know what it is already. There's actually a homily on Rerate Caeli that was posted last week, and Father titles this homily, and it's not long either, and I would highly suggest that you read it. The title of it is Mitigating Ourself to Perdition. Mitigation, shortening up, slacking off on things. We have liturgically mitigated ourselves to near perdition. We come into the liturgy and we are supposed to work. Think of the analogy of work, and our Lord uses it self-consciously. What would be the reaction of your boss in this world? What would be his reaction if you came in one day and go, you know what, I used to work really hard, I used to put a lot of effort into this, I'm not going to anymore. I figured a way to shorten up my work day. I'm not going to give you the quality of work that I gave you before. I'm not going to put in the time that I gave you before. How do you think that would go over with your boss? I'm not thinking well, okay? Why is it okay for God? Why can we slack on the quality of his worship? Why can we slack on the amount of time that we spend with him? Why can we slack in the work that we do for him? That's what we've done. Why do we expect him to be any kind of interesting about our faith? You work in this world, I'll just put my time in because if I can do 25 or 30 years, I got my retirement and I'm gone. All right? Could you imagine if your retirement was incumbent on the last day that you've worked to walk into the CEO's office and look at him and go, time to retire? And he looks back at you and goes, you know what? You've done shoddy work the whole time you were here. You've done shoddy work. And as it's gone on, it's gotten more and more shoddy. And it's gotten more and more less quality. Guess what? You get nothing. Whoa. I bet you'd go into that job every single day, knowing that that was what awaited you, and do the best you possibly could. Why don't we do it for God? Because guess what? What I just described is called the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to get up there after the work day's over, so to speak, and he's going to look at you and go, was the work good or was the work not? And he's going to decide as to what kind of retirement you get. And y'all know where I'm going with that. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. That is your faith. You must work at your faith. You must learn it. You must be active in it. You know, particularly using the illustration of the liturgy. You have a missalette in the front of your pew. You know, there's parts of the Mass that you don't hear. The celebrant says the words quietly. I wish I knew what was going on. It's right there. It's right there. Follow along. Because those words, I wish they were loud, because they're very powerful. They're very pointed. There are prayers in that. There are prayers in that missalette for before Mass. There are prayers in that missalette for after you receive communion. More than enough to keep you occupied while you're waiting for everybody else to receive. And you will learn of your faith. And you will know how profound the Mass is. You will learn that it is a sacrifice when you read the words and are attentive to them, and not a reenactment of the Lord's Supper. That's the Mass. That's your faith. You need to work to figure it out. We need to work in the utter category, works of mercy. Oh, here we go. Give to the poor. Yep, that's part of it, but you don't need to hear it from me. That's just a consequence of being a Christian. Is you don't let people without do without, if you can help it. But there are other works of mercy. They're called spiritual works of mercy, and they include admonishing the sinner. It doesn't take any work to hand somebody a 5 or a 10 that's asking for it. There's no work involved in that at all. As a matter of fact, you're probably doing something to benefit yourself, because it's not so much I want to help him as I want him out of my face, and I'll give him anything to get him away from me. Spiritual acts of mercy, like admonishing the sinner, yeah, it's hard work to look at a family member and tell them that their soul is in mortal jeopardy because they're living in a state of mortal sin, cohabitation, contracepting, things like that. Okay, that's very hard to do, but it's part of what we're supposed to do when it comes to our work for the kingdom of heaven. And then there's a third category, repentance. Repentance is work. Repentance is not this simplistic sign a card, walk the aisle, raise your hand, say a certain prayer. Because guess what? Guess what's going to happen after you do those things? As good as they may be, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go sin some more. I'm speaking for myself. You're probably going to go out and sin some more. So what do? Your work of repentance is ongoing. Because, unfortunately, our sinfulness is ongoing. We must repent. You know, and it can be those little venial things that are covered in the Mass. That's all well and good. The confessional, par excellence, that work of repentance. Oh, I don't like, it's so embarrassing. My lunch hour is only so long. That's called work. The work of repentance. We need to work at it. You can't just sit there on, I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to sin again, so I'm just going to sit here on my hands. I might not receive communion, because I'm just not properly disposed. Fix it. If you don't fix it, you're not working. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. If you're not properly disposed to receive communion at a given Mass, that's where you gain the strength to withstand temptation, to withstand sin. You need to fix it immediately. If you've done and pray God, you do on occasion examine your conscience. I'm not really properly disposed to receive communion this week. If you are not predisposed, you need to be in the confessional. Notice need to be in the confessional. Lent, great time for it. And you are required to go once a year. I get all kind of people that argue with me about that, but the canon law does not say if grave sin. It says you will confess grave sin, not if you have some. It's a presupposition that you will. So you need to go to confession at least once a calendar year. Lent, great time to do it, if you want to do bare minimums. And I'm hoping you're getting the vibe that bare minimums aren't going to cut it when it comes to the working toward our faith. We are supposed to work because we are lights in this world. We are supposed to advance the kingdom of Christ. A lot of people say, what can I do? What can I look at the world, look at the state of things? What can I possibly do? God has a tendency to use some very weak things to get his job done. You know, I love St. Jose Maria. St. Jose Maria, he actually asked the question, what can I do? He answers it, and he appeals to John chapter 9. What can you do for the kingdom of God? You can let him use you. As weak as you may be, as sinful as you may be, as frail as you may be, he can use you. And he appeals to John chapter 9 because what did he use to open a man's eyes who was born blind? Our Lord Jesus Christ could have just said, see, and been done with it. And he would have seen. What did he do? He used spit and dirt. He used spit and dirt to open a blind man's eyes. That tells us something about us. And it answered the question, what can I do? You might be weak. You might be frail. Spit and dirt, that's actually kind of repugnant. It's just not weak. It's repugnant. And he used spit and dirt to open a blind man's eyes. He will use us in our weakness. That spit and dirt to open people's eyes to the truth of the gospel. Because it's not a matter of when we work that we're doing our thing. It's a matter of we are doing his. He is working through us. That is why you need to do your part and let him work through you. Because your faith is not a cognitive proposition. It is a living and an operative faith. You have to live. You have to do. You cannot work your way into heaven. You can't do enough to even get close to heaven. It is by his grace that your eyes are open. But he has prepared works for you to walk in, as we hear at the end of Mass every week when we pray the prayer of thanksgiving for what we have received in the Eucharist, that we may be able to walk in those works for which he has prepared for us. We work for him. It is a result of his grace. And guess what? You got a limited time to do it, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. You are not going to live forever, but you are going to be answerable to the boss for what you have done. Our Lord says night comes when no one can work. You can't work after it's over and done with. That's why we talk about the souls in purgatory cannot do anything for themselves. That's why we must pray for them. They can't even pray for themselves. When night comes, no one can work. All those categories. When you breathe your last, what you understand about your faith, how much you've worked for it, the works of mercy you've done, and the works of repentance have you done, everything's on the table right then and there. You cannot fix it after that. Our Lord says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he says, you are the light of the world. He said that we must work while it is day. He had to work while his day was here. We need to work while our day is here. Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.